have fun with that song? I just want to tell you, I mean, you don't have to, but, you know, if you need to break a little groove at Hillview, it's okay to break a little groove, okay? Now, listen, some of you white people don't need to try that, but, you know, other than that, it's all right. It works. I want to pray that, man, God really teach us today. A tough lesson today because we're going to do some things. So here's what I want you to know up front. I'm going to offend everybody today, so just go ahead and get prepared for that, okay? One of the things that I believe in is being an equal opportunity offender. And I think if you're really going to hear the truth of the Word of God, I don't know about you, but the Word of God offends me. Because here's the way I usually know it's the will of God. It's not what I would do. Well, let me tell you, I mean, if you get up in my face, I want to hit you. I'm just telling the truth. When you get in my face, you start running your mouth. I don't have these natural feelings of compassion for your life. But guess what the Bible tells me to do? It tells me to have compassionate feelings for you and to love you and pray for you even though you want to accost me. You see what I'm saying? It's a different world, amen? And so, listen, we're going to be talking about something you rarely hear about, unity. And I want you to just think about that for a minute. You don't hear much in our conversations about unity, do you? What means to really be unified? What do you hear about in our culture? Okay, if it's not unity, it's what? How many of y'all have heard some diversity stuff? Anybody heard anything about diversity in the last week? In fact, we have been in this whole conversation since the mid-70s. It's all about diversity. Well, watch this. I'm going to blow you away today. In Acts, it's not about diversity. Go ahead and tell your neighbor, hold on to your seat. Come on, go ahead and tell them, hold on to your seat. Hold on to your seat. We're going to go counterculture today, and I want to propose something to you. We love talking about diversity. You know why? Because we get to talk about how unique we are. And any time we get an opportunity to talk about ourselves, let me tell you my plight in life. Let me tell you my dilemma. Let me tell you why I can't. Let me show you how I can. We get to talk about ourselves. And let's go ahead and be honest. We love it. Have y'all ever met people that love to talk about yourselves other than you? Some of y'all caught that. Some of y'all are wise. Some of y'all are asleep. Some of y'all are still on vacation. You're back. Go with me to Acts chapter 4. And as we climb out of this shaking moment of prayer, by the way, which is not a coincidence, I want to thank you all as a church for being a place that lifts Jesus Christ up. Now, I want to tell you something. You got to get it. I mean, how much is it? My 20-somethings on their way, newlyweds. How much have y'all heard about diversity, let's say, in your college years? I mean, in business class, got to be what? Got to be diverse. It's got to be diverse. It's got to be diverse. Now, I'm going to do something today, and some of y'all are going to get really hostile for a moment, but hear me out. Please listen carefully to this sermon today so that you don't send me an email with a half a piece of the information, okay? I'm not a politician. I don't do sound bites, so you need to listen to the full explanation. The Bible doesn't focus on diversity. It focuses on unity. Where's that message? Where's that message? We even got churches that are so hipped on being in the world, they're more excited about being diverse than they are being unified. You can have a bunch of people gather together and play some guitars and sing some Jesus music and miss Jesus' whole concept. And so here's where I really, I just don't want you all to be shortchanged. I don't like Jesus light. I like Jesus full strength. You know, I want the real thing. I don't want just enough Jesus that we kind of monkey around with it. But I'm talking about a Jesus that jolts us into reality. Clacy, have you heard anything about diversity in your life? In fact, in the higher educational realms, they talked about how diverse you need to be and how respectful of diversity you need to be. I agree with that.
but nobody's talking about unity. You know why they're not, Betty Lois? You can't do it without Jesus. What creates unity is that Jesus' story overrides our story. How many of you have this moment in your life? Wait a minute. How many of y'all got a wait a minute moment? You see, this is the power of the gospel. I was dead in my sins. I was struggling in our lives. We couldn't get to heaven. We needed the hope of heaven to come to us. Wait a minute. Jesus enters into our lives. We become a part of the cross. We become a part of the activity of the cross and resurrection. And now we're in unity with our Creator. Thus, we can have unity with what He created. That sounds like a better way to get there than sitting here for the next 60 years of our lives going, well, I need to really understand your story. I mean, here's what I'm saying. It's not working. Have y'all noticed the more we focus on each other's differences, the more divided we become? You know what we are in America now? Politely prejudiced. It's called political correct. It's politely prejudiced. You know what Jesus says? I'm going to use a big word. Every once in a while I like to use a big word. He eradicates our division. He brings us together like He intended us to be. Let's just run a common. Can I run a common human test here for a second? Y'all give me a head nod or something. Y'all awake yet? Everybody, you're awake, aren't you? Everybody awake? Common human test, right? Now, everybody, okay, to take the common test, Sheriff, I want you to arrest anybody that I point out to you here in just a minute because I want you to arrest them on the grounds for lying, all right? Here we go. You ready? How many of y'all have ever lied before? Those of you with your hands down, Sheriff, arrest them right now. Huh, come on. How many of y'all have ever looked at someone else that you thought was really good looking and stuff and kind of had some thoughts you might should not have had? Now arrest the ones with their hands down for sure, Sheriff, because they're guilty of 2 points. How many of y'all have ever kind of envied somebody else? I mean, you really envied some, especially, no, I'm going to get both of you. I'm going to do a ladies example. I'm going to do a male example. Okay, men, women here. How many of y'all ladies ever done this? You've been in a social event somewhere, and this woman walks in, and I mean, she is just dressed to the nines. She's killer. You know what I'm talking about? And you see your husband and your boyfriend kind of go like, oh. And then you get over there in a little circle with your girlfriends and y'all start talking because she walks by. They're like, and the rest of the ladies over there going like, I tell you what, I can't believe she wore that. She shouldn't even wear something like that to an event. Well, girl, let me tell you why she wore it. She can. And let me tell you what's really going on in her minds. She walks in a dress like that and all of a sudden we have a flashback of ourselves walking in a dress like that and we go, ooh, that's not good. And we get what? What's that called? How come you ladies don't confess that real quick? What's that called? Hold on, men do it too. All men do it, especially today's times. Because listen, I'm trying to help this generation. Young men, y'all need to quit acting like women. I'm serious. This is where we messed up a young group of males. But men do it too, especially in the spring. Everybody brings out their lawnmower. You in the subdivision. You know what I'm talking about? You bring a lawnmower. You probably got one with a Corvette on it where everybody gets those, you know. But all of a sudden, here comes a new. Don, this is probably one you own. And it comes out with the zero radius turn, you know. And you can tell they're showing off. These brothers are showing off. Because they turn the mower in the driveway like this. Right as the morning sun is breaking to catch the chrome wheels on their lawnmower. And you thought you were mowing some grass because you had a 60-inch swap. But this brother is running an 85. You a 3-blader, he's a 4-blader. He starts that thing up and throws the blades to it, and he sounds like a Southwest jet taking off in Nashville. His grass doesn't spit out of the side because it's turbocharged back into two grass catching bags that makes his front yard look like a golf course. And we all stand there. That boy's dumb as a rock. Now, how in the world did he get a lawnmower? You men ever done that? How many of you men done that? Come on, you got to take tests. I have too. Now watch, here's what I'm showing. First point, we've all sinned. Now hold on. Now, you say, Pastor Steve, you talk about that every Sunday. Because we don't get it yet. Nick, you know what I'm talking about? Nick, I talk about things more than once, don't I? I'll wear you out. We've all sinned. Not some of us have sinned. Not certain groups have sinned. Guess how many of us have sinned? All of us. Doc, do you see sinners in your practice? Absolutely. I meet sinners all the time. How many of y'all have sinned before? You can say, you know you sinned. How many of y'all read the Ten Commandments and went out as soon as you read them and did exactly what they told you not to do? We're sinners. Now, hold on. Here's where the unity comes in. In our moment of time, we've gotten all crazy about gender and pigmentation. We're crazy about that. Well, we've excluded people because they had more pigmentation than others, or they didn't have enough pigmentation, or one was darker, one was lighter, some were in between. Have you noticed that? Now, let me tell you what, that's pretty. That, you see, when you start focusing on differences, these are the conversations that are created. Or you start focusing on the things that unify us. Everybody just took the common human test, and we all found ourselves in the same what? Place. Here's what I like to tell people. Hell is an equal opportunity place. It'll take anybody and everybody and desires all of us. However, there's a Jesus that has countered. And that Jesus, guess what? He desires that all of us be saved. How many of y'all are glad of that? How many of y'all still really believe this? I mean, you really believe it, that Jesus Christ is the only way into heaven. And because he died and he's risen, guess what? We all stand together. Now, when you start preaching that message, guess what? People come together. Hillview, I want to thank you all. This place has got a lot of different people in it, yeah? Girl, you've been with me for a long time. I've been your pastor a long time. Not that you've aged. I've just seen you a lot. How's that, okay? You ever heard me preach a sermon on diversity? Not diversity. You know why? Because I know talking about diversity will never create unity. And I want what God desires. How many of y'all want what God desires? All right, now go with me to Acts 4. I kind of got you set up. We're going to go through some things. I hope you embrace them today. This is a tough service. This is a counterculture service. This is a counterculture moment. But I'm sorry, we have to make a decision as Hillview Heights Church. Y'all want to go along with what the world says, or do you want to do what God says? I need some talk back. What do you think? Are you all sure? Now, hold on. If you go along with what the world says, everybody will like you. You'll be invited to their parties. They'll embrace you. They'll hug you. They'll tell you, oh, how sweet you are. You all know there's a lot of people who don't like me in this city. People ask me all the time, you know, I had this one guy come to me. He goes, how do you deal with all the people that don't like you? I said, I've met most of them, and I have found no nail scars in their wrist. I said, they have an opinion, I have an opinion. I said, we'll see on the final trumpet who wins. And I said, I don't even trust my own opinion, so why would I listen to their opinion? You see, we don't understand surrender. I'm going to surrender to what God says. Now, when you surrender to what God says, it's not about diversity, it's about unity. And I don't know about you, I just haven't heard a lot of unity talk. What about you guys? We get divided. Watch this. This conversation arose as I grew up. The male, female, equal, women's equal rights. I mean, I remember seeing on the news, you know, they's burning things and going through all this and demanding rights. Now, I want to go clearly on record. I believe that women are as smart and most of the time smarter than men. Because here's my observation. Women get what they want 99% of the time. It has nothing to do with intelligence. It has nothing to do with qualifications. And absolutely, a woman should be paid equivalent to a male for the same job. But that's, hold on. Well, yeah, clap at that. But what are you clapping for? They are. They are. My wife works in corporate America. She gets paid just like her corporate counterpart does that happens to look like me. We've achieved that in a lot of corridors. Yeah. What do you do with Meg Whitman? You wouldn't have seen her 20 years ago. A billionaireist on her own. Wait, you don't think we've achieved that yet? Who's not getting paid equal? Women? Really? You mean a female school teacher makes less than a male school teacher? Yeah. They didn't have that before. They got that now. Believe me, if they're not, there'll be major lawsuits. I mean, we got a whole racket going here on diversity. It's worth billions of dollars. You get lawsuits, consultants, debates, studies, grants. You know why? Y'all stay with me. I told you he's going to get offended. Here's what we don't want to face. We can't do it without Jesus. We've talked more about being together in the last 60 years of humanity than probably any other time, and we're more apart than ever. Why? Who'd we push out of the mix? Oh, we'll listen to a study from Harvard. I mean, I want to tell you all this. There's actually been studies from Harvard that we spent millions of dollars on to come to these conclusions. We have found that children fare better when they have their mother and father. I'd have done that for them for a half a million. You know how I knew that? The word of. Now let's get to the word of God. What's this? I don't want to argue about diversity. In fact, to be quite honest with you, I'm tired of talking about it. I want to talk about unity. I want to talk about purpose. I want to talk about solutions. I want to talk about making a difference. I already know all the problems, and you do too. Hello? 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 I've been broke before. Any of y'all been broke before? It didn't take me several studies to figure out why I became broke. Let me tell you how I became broke. Because I was a greedy little dude and I overspent my credit card. Back then we didn't have bailouts. We had more part-time jobs. It was called pay your stupid tax. You know what I find out? If you pay your stupid tax at 20, you will not repeat over and over again the same actions of death. It's real! But nobody wants to get real. Nobody really wants to solve the problem. Because to solve the problem requires me to sacrifice. Let's go here. Let's look. Peter has just got out of jail. He just got out of jail. Where was Peter? Should people who've been in jail be allowed in the church? I sure hope so. Because if they're not, we've kicked out Jesus. Paul. John, Peter, and many, many others. Why does the world want to jail those who follow Christ? They're dangerous. I think we need to get back to this. Everybody ticked off yet? Just contemplate. Give it a situation. Here's all I'm proposing to you. I don't see us more unified today than we were 30 years ago. Y'all? I see everybody paranoid that they're going to offend somebody. You can't even say stuff anymore. My wife elbows me through the week. And she goes, well, honey, now somebody's going to be, honey, you just open that big mouth of yours. I said, I'm going to continue to open that big mouth of mine. Because I said, let me tell you, I got people in my family that lay in that cemetery up there in Arlington so I could open my big mouth. And I'm not shutting my big mouth to appease the few that would never pay a sacrifice. Somewhere, I know y'all don't like to hear that. But we got to get back to the blood. A little tough, isn't it? What's tense on up here? What does it mean to be the body of Christ? They just prayed. The whole place is shaking. And then all of a sudden they begin to talk about, what does it mean to be community? What does it really mean? Now let me go back to the male-female thing. Do you all notice some distinct differences? Please tell me we're that far along. I mean, seriously, I believe you can educate yourself so much that you get so obsessed with small, minute issues that you can't see the rest of the story. First of all, here's what I want you to know. This is just where I stand. You can disagree with this. I know some of you all think that males and females, there's nothing absolutely different about them. Well, I want all you daddies to nurse your child. Earl, as much as you loved your children, could you have nursed one of them? What if Cynthia had looked at you and said, Earl, this is not fair. You need to do this half the time. It's not just. It's not equal. Ain't got the equipment. Because you see, God's definition of unity is not yours. God doesn't say we do the same thing to be equal. He says that in Him we are all unified. Elizabeth, as much as I love our kids and you love our kids, if you demanded of me, listen, we're going to split this nursing thing 50-50. I mean, without artificial help, I couldn't get it done. I know right now y'all got that. Remember that? Well, I'm not even going there. I'm skipping it. Please give me this much. How many of y'all have enough common sense to know there's distinct differences between men and women? And God made those differences, and they're purposeful and they're wonderful. And the more that we blur them, the less that we see God's order. You know, there's unity. Listen, there's got to be unity between husband and wife. Elizabeth and I, we know our roles. We know our roles. She can do things that I can never do. She can say things to Clacy that if I said those things, World War III would break out. That's her role. But I can say things that she can't say. It's about us being who we are, finding unity. Can I go on? Give me a head nod. You don't have to agree with me, but do you understand where I'm going? Can I summarize it real quick? We need to focus more on the body of Christ about what it means to be unified than we do about all of our diverse issues. What is this? I expect our church to be full of diversity. Why? Who do we lift up here? What did Jesus say? If you lift me up, what's he going to do? Draw who? All nations. Now, if you check it out, all nations don't look alike. Hello? Well, who created that? I guarantee you, if I went over to Africa and I was hanging out with some dudes that got chased by lions all the time, I guarantee you they can run faster than me. Well, I don't know. If I was being chased by a lion, I might time. If they pulled out one of them big cobra snakes, I guarantee you I could outrun any of them. We've grown up with different experiences. It shapes us in different ways. Now, here's what I want you to hear as the body of Christ, and I'm going to get on with it, okay? But you've got to get this foundation, and we got to start rethinking some things. It's Christ and Christ alone. Church has got to be more than just sitting around for an hour checking out what God might do. We got to start living and interacting. And Hillview, I want to thank you, man. You guys are real. Thank you, neighbor, for being real. Just go ahead and thank them for being real. And even if they're fake, pray that they'll become real, okay? Just thanks for being real. Thank you for being real. It's real. Thanks for being real, man. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being real. Now, here's what happens. All believers, that's what happened. After they prayed, the place where they were was what? Shaken. And they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke the word of God boldly. How did they speak the word of God? Let me tell you what they were speaking into. A diverse, multi-religious, upside down, crazy culture called Rome. And they spoke it how? Didn't say softly and tenderly. It didn't say so it wouldn't offend anybody. It didn't say be sweet little Christian people on your way to Zion.
boldly. There is a God that has revolutionized my life. How much do you love him?
It's about unity. I'm going to be honest, as I try to be. Only in Christ will you ever experience unity. Elizabeth and I can't get along without Jesus. We don't think alike. We don't act alike. We don't do things the same way. But you know what? In Jesus, he unifies our purpose. Wouldn't you agree with that, Elizabeth? I mean, you'd much rather be married to the Jesus in me than me. True? How many of y'all married to the, watch this. I mean, sometimes look, Elizabeth, I said, listen, don't trust me. Trust the Jesus in me. I'm honest enough. No, I'll mess people up. How many of y'all have ever messed somebody up? I mean, you messed them up. How many of y'all thought you knew best and halfway in you found out you didn't? How come y'all looking at me like that? Y'all go, can't we talk about something else? Like Genesis? Why is this too close to home? Now let's talk about what we really do. What does it mean to be together? Let's talk about it. Three things here. All the believers were in one heart and mind. It's more about one heart and mind than it is about our diverse position. I don't care if you're a woman. I don't care if you're a man. I don't care if you're black, red, yellow, white combinations. I care about your heart and mind. Hold on. I go on record with that. Now, let me tell you what I do care about, though. Your character. Now, here's what gets me in trouble. I don't excuse people's character because of their history. And here's why. Except this. I mean, if you're lost, I expect you to act lost. But if you're saved, I expect you to act like Christ. It changes the way you think. Gets me in a lot of trouble. We're not unique. I know everybody thinks they're a unique sinner. But I hate to let you in on this. You're just a common sinner like all the other common sinners. Well, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I have a unique addiction. Yeah, I do too. I got the same one. It's called sin. It's called that I've got some other things in my life before God. It's called the breach of the first commandment. I'm not unique. Guess who's sharing that unique jazz with you? Devil! Not God, it's the devil. Guess what God says? You can be saved. You can be possible. You can have a new heart. You can have a new mind. You can have a new location. You can have a new destination. This sounds like a new way of thinking. This sounds like a whole new creation. This sounds like a divine reality. And what do we want to do? Live in our history instead of our present possibility. How many of y'all live in your history? Y'all hadn't been married long enough, but guess what will happen? You put about 10 years on, y'all will start doing this. Well, I remember in our third year of marriage, who cares in your third year of marriage? It's over. Who cares what happened in 5, 6? What about now? How many of y'all live a life, what about now? In this moment. I can just tell you what little I've learned in my journey so far. If you'll embrace every moment with one heart, one mind, you'll see God. You'll see God. Let's look. This ought to happen in the body of Christ. One heart, one mind. You ready? No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Church, I want to thank you for being a sharing church. This is a sharing place, and I'm going to kind of sound like the Apostle Paul here, and may it do so much more. Share with each other. But you know what? It's not just stuff. It's attitudes. It's encouragements. It's heartbeats. Russell, I celebrate with you that Red's going to the University of Georgetown in Lexington. Red's going to be a tiger. How many of y'all want Red to do well? Well, good. Me too. Now, Red, hold on. I mean, who knows? You may come back and 50 years from now, you may be sitting back there and be the next sheriff. We've never had a red-headed sheriff. We've had a big-headed sheriff like you, but not a red-headed sheriff. Who knows? But I want the encouragement of Christ. Listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit in this moment. If we would allow God to bring the body of Christ together, it would start echoing a vibration that the world has not seen. But we got to get this body together. The toughest thing I do in ministry is try to get other churches to cooperate. You know why? We are so hepped on diversity that we have forsaken unity. I mean, I could care less if one group sings with a piano or not. I could care less what translation of the Bible you read out of. I could care less if you wear a suit and tie or you have an open collar. And here's why. Those things don't unify. Are y'all getting this today? I'm not going very far today because if we get this, it changes everything. You know, well, it's kind of like going to gym. If I'll just walk, I'll lose weight. But I'm always in there asking y'all if y'all got a secret trick of how I could do this quicker without doing any cardio. And guess what they say? Go to treadmill. Just like saying, go to hell. Go to treadmill. Crazy. See what I'm saying? We want to find unity on our own. Here's what I'm trying to tell you today. It ought to be in the body of Christ. Guys, I'm so thankful that we find that here. But guess what? You know what scares me? Can I give you all a red alert? Devil's on the prowl. He's always been on the prowl of this congregation. Here's one thing he'd love to do. He would love for Hillview Heights to start picking and choosing who it wants to serve. You know the hardest people here in the congregation that I struggle with are those who 10 years ago were in a ditch. God healed them up and made them pretty now, and they didn't want to go get anybody else out of the ditch. From now on, I'm taking a Polaroid. Well, I guess I can do it digital now. Y'all see I'm old. This is who you were when you came to Christ. So you remember that God's got a whole lot of more of those "this is who you were" on his mind. We just can't lose that. I love y'all. We can't lose that. Amen? Y'all don't do this either. Pastor Steve, I'm so proud of Church of Maine. I'm glad we're down there reaching. We're down there to reach all people down there, and we're going to reach all people to Hillview campus, and we got a bunch of other campuses that will be opening up. It's about reaching all people. In fact, when you all get this message, this church will never have an empty seat in it, summer or not. I'm just challenging us. I want to let you know that the pastors can't do it all. I don't work where you work. Make sense? I just ask people. But here's the problem. I don't think people want to come to church because we don't look like the Bible says. What do you think? They get shocked at Hillview. You know the number one thing that shocks people? Mo, you may even had this when you first met me to them. You know what people always ask me? That guy can't be a pastor. Yeah. We met some new folks. We did a wedding this week out of state, and Elizabeth and I walked up, and I said, and it was an older lady. She's a crazy, cool older lady, man. And Elizabeth and I met her, and she goes, "You all cannot be in the ministry." And I said, "Well, why not? You don't look like you're supposed to be preaching." And I said, "Well, what does that look like?" She goes, "You know, fat and frumpy." Hey, I like ladies like that. And I looked at Elizabeth, and I go, "There is an 80-year-old version of me, honey." See, I love being old one day. I can just blurt and not get in trouble. That's the beauty of being old. You got to embrace all. How many of y'all know if you like your grandparents? If you go ask them, "Does this dress look good?" They go, "No." In fact, most of your dresses never look good. You know why they say stuff like that? They know they're out of here in a little bit. See, embrace every season of life. But you know, that lady reminded me, Elizabeth, she reminded me of 20 years ago when, listen, I don't want to be ugly, but this is the image of most people in the world, is that we're some kind of subculture off in the corner for people who couldn't pledge a real fraternity or sorority. And that is farther from the truth as anything could be. And I know who created that story, because let me tell you what really goes on, and we're going to get out of here. There's always a spiritual battle. God always has a real story, and the devil's writing fiction all the time. God has a truth, and the devil's writing fiction around it all the time. The body of Christ is made up of those who believe. And let me tell you what they do. They take care of each other. There's a worthiness of being in the body of Christ with great power. The apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to note that, and I want you to listen to me. That will always be the message of the Hillview Heights Church, the power of the resurrection. Always. You do not want to bring your little theological understanding into my office and challenge me on the resurrection, because here's the problem. You are young, and I've already seen the whole dance. I heard about feeding all the poor people in 1970. Now I'm hearing about it again. And guess what? We started feeding all the poor people in the early 70s. It was called the Jesus Way. Same young group. They all had a theology. They all had the heart for the world. And we are lost more today than ever. Because it wasn't a testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was the testimony to poverty. It was the testimony of world missions. Those are not testimonies. Those are activities. The testimony. We need preachers and teachers of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. What? Christ! Now here's what I want you to know. You live in a church called the Hillview Heights Church. How much have we focused on the resurrection in the past 20 years? Somebody tell me. Come on, talk to me today. Come on, stir you up a little bit. Talk to me. What do you hear about every Sunday? But guess what, Bob? You'll go to some Bible story and they want to get an accessory and make it the vehicle. That's why when I go to the Christian bookstore, I always take Dramamine. So I don't throw up in the middle aisle of the weakness of this moment of culture. The taintedness. I can take all of what's supposed to be pop Christianity, and here's where pop Christianity is nauseating. Tim, check it out. I mean, you're an educated man. It's always about us. How to praise better, how to pray better, how to have a better church, how to have better Sunday school, how to have a better Christian marriage, how to have Christian businesses. I've never heard of Christian businesses. I've heard of business run by Christians. I've never heard of Christian radios. I've got radio airwaves used to the glory of God. I never heard all this stuff. When I study the Bible, our language and understanding of following Jesus is far away from what actually happened in the Bible. This is a group of people living in the world so saturated with the resurrection of Jesus Christ that the world around them is shaken. Sheriff, they can't even arrest these cats without the Holy Spirit busting them out of jail. Now, Sheriff, you can't tell me, man, if some of us got locked up and God busted us out, that you wouldn't have your office door closed trying to figure out what we're going to do with this problem. Where's that church? That one. It says, wait a minute, I'm going to talk about Jesus, whether it is in vogue, out of vogue, in this, out of that. So let me finish up. Prayer that shakes the world. Unity that changes the world. Testify to the what? Resurrection. Let me show you what they did. They realized what they had wasn't theirs. It was God. They shared among each other. Everybody with them had no, they didn't have need because the community was supplying their life. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all. May it be said about us. God's grace so in work with us that you can't go to Target without somebody getting hit by Jesus. How many of y'all want to be so full of his grace? You out there at the IGA crossroad, whichever one you happen to come to on your way in or out to your neighborhood, and you holding the gas pump, vibrating with God's grace. I mean, you're over there holding the gas pump and one of your buddies pulls up, your girlfriend pulls up, you know. He said, be careful, I'm so full of God's grace today, you might get saved at the unleaded. Now, y'all think I'm crazy, but this is the kind of shaking that went on in the early moments of the church. And here's what I'm trying to tell you, I think God desires them again. I love it when a bunch of Hillview people show up. You know what Hillview people can out-party any group of the devil's partiers. We are louder, crazier, full of what? Life. People are blown away when Elizabeth and I dance. Now, she dances, not stand there. But I want to dance with her because she's always loved to dance. So I do my 80s thing, you know. I'm upstairs here giving a little 80s, you know. You know, get some rock and roll, give me a little bump. Y'all remember that, don't you? Because guess what the world tells us? Says a pastor and his wife not to participate in revelry and dancing because the world will ruin our witness.
I go, really? But let me tell you who's ruined our witness. Is you, stuffy, stoic, no fun, religious church people. You all have crushed the church. They go, what do you mean? I said, you look nothing like Jesus. Jesus had long hair, flip-flops, a robe. He hung out with sinners. He welcomed strangers. He talked about good Samaritans. He brought the woman out of the well back into town. He told the woman caught in adultery, I'll give you a new way. He told the thief, you don't have to steal anymore, and the crook, that I can straighten you out. He told the blind to see, the lame to walk, the hungry to be fed, and the unrighteous to get righteous. That's our Jesus. So you know what? Oh, go ahead. Try to put him in your Baptist box, your Methodist box, your little Protestant box. Here's what I love about Jesus. He always gets out of boxes. We don't try that once. We put him in a little box. We rolled a big stone across it. And 3 days later, he got out. He's better than Houdini. They put Houdini in a box. Houdini been in boxes all of his life. But he had a final box. It's what Billy sang. Did y'all listen to what Billy sang today? You think you strong? Stronger than that. You think you rich? Richer than that. You think you brave? Y'all add a lyric to the song. You think you bad? Better than that. Sing that next service, Billy. You think you bad? Better than that. God, let me finish up. Man, they took care of each other. Y'all see that? I didn't mean to get in a big preaching fit today, but I did, didn't I? There were no needy persons among them. Note that. There were no needy persons among them. It didn't say that there were no needy persons in the city. It said there were no needy persons among them. I'm going to go real quick on this. Hillview, I'm going to tell you this right now. For those of you that follow Christ in this room, this church is obligated to you first. Those who don't believe, second. Boy, you ought to see people get mad. Come in the office. Pastor Dave, you ain't going to pay my rent? I said, we ain't got it. They go, what do you mean? I said, did you know people lost their jobs in this church too? They go, you mean you take care of them first? I go, absolutely. That's my family. That's my brother. That's my sister. Hopefully one day you'll be my brother and sister. But right now you're my brother or sister. So I said, why don't you go pray to your second secular God and see if he'll pay your rent? Let me tell you what we do. When we give people the benefits of the body without being in the body, we lead them astray. There's some benefits, man. Any of y'all get sick? Are y'all going to have people around your hospital bed? You better believe it. If you're a part of Hillview Heights Church, man, you get sick, you'll be running people out of there. But you know what? Your family will be fed. Things will be taken care of. You get yourself in a quandary, they'll make sure you get out of that quandary. That's part of taking care of the needs. Have I clarified myself? Now, after the needs of the body are taken care of, then the rest of the world needs to be blessed. But this is about believers. The church is about the believers. Making sure the message of God gets all over the world. Let me finish up. Y'all have been great today. What else happened? People sold their stuff so people could get better. I want to thank you guys. Y'all participated in that. Thanks for doing a wonderful job in that. Thank you that you've sold your possessions and you worked money. And I want to thank you for something as a pastor real quick. I thank you guys for working hard. How many of y'all work hard all week long? Thanks. I want to thank you for going to school. I want to thank you for getting yourself prepared. I want to thank you for the Lord prospering you. And I want to thank you guys for tithing. Thanks. Because guess what? That's changing a whole lot of people's lives. I want to thank you that we're in a debt-free facility because you, many of you all were obedient. I had a preacher buddy call me about 2 weeks ago and he said, Pastor Steve. I said, yeah. He said, we want that plan y'all used at Hillview that paid off that building. I said, really? Go to Malachi. He said, is that a group that comes in and helps you raise money?
I said, no, it's called a Bible, book of the Bible. And here's what it said. Bring a tenth into the storehouse and I will open the doors of heaven. I said, we tithe. He goes, that's unbelievable. I said, really? I said, Pastor, you sadden my heart that we say we believe the word of God, but we never trust it when it comes to the showdown. I don't want to pick on anybody, but I think it's time for a revival. That we've fought too long and worked too many years on what we could do. And I don't know, before I get out of here, I'd love to see what God could do with us. What do you think, Big Jim? People say miracles don't happen. I say baloney. And sometimes I get a little stronger than that. I see them every week. I see the dead raised, the impossible become possible. Those who couldn't see differently. Those who thought they were pinned down in addiction released to a new life. I see us stumble and fall. I do that myself. But I'm going to tell you what I love about Hillview. I got some skint knees and some bruised joints, but I'm still walking in Christ. I've fallen down and stumbled. You all, how many of y'all fall down and stumble even in your walk with Christ? What's this? If you get more mature, you ought to walk better. Wouldn't you agree with me? Joseph, don't you and Amber's children walk better now than they did 3 years ago? Huh? I mean, obviously, yes. 4 years ago, for sure, yes. But we ought to walk better as we go along. But we ought to welcome people constantly. What I wanted to thank you all. Well, now, Cindy, you're right. You brought me to an observation. Up to a point. No, it's okay. I agree with you. You're being accurate here. That was of the Holy Spirit. Don't be ashamed of that. Well, watch, Cindy. Maybe we're on a bell curve system. Yeah, you know what I mean? We come on up here for a while, and there is a peak. Would you all agree? Now, we got to follow the Bible, and we are fallen. Would you all agree? Have you noticed there's after a certain age, God illustrates fallenness to you more than he did previously. Like I look down and I go, fallen. And you know what I've, and now this verse here, right here, I think it may be to the point of no return. Here's what I know. It will never return back up here again. I call it furniture disease. My chest has fallen to my drawers. Okay, that's what happens. It's furniture disease, okay? But there's a point where you don't walk because you know what? Maybe Cindy is this. We don't walk as well in the end because we're fixing to walk like we never, ever have. It's that real. The old encourager, Barnabas Joseph, a Levite, he was prosperous. He had, you know, he had the resume. He was the cool guy. You know what he did? He sold some land, put it to apostles' feet. They took care of everybody. I hope I had more of y'all out today. Are y'all okay today?
Yes.
Did this make sense today? I know some of y'all don't totally agree, but guess what? Here's what I'm proposing to you. Have we gotten a lot better talking about what we talk about? I mean, we're broke as a nation. We've increased poverty. We haven't eradicated it. We've increased it. It's a fact. I mean, I don't care what political horse you ride. It's a fact. I mean, eventually people got to be intelligent enough to go, here's the number. But you know what we can't be? We don't lack intelligence in the United States of America. We lack humility. We can't say this. It didn't work. Let's try something else. You know why there's 53% divorce rate in the United States of America? Because in our marriages, we don't have enough humility to do this. I'm sorry. That's a bad idea. And guess what our husband and wife might do? Well, you're right. It sure was. Now we'll work together to correct it. You know what I'm talking about, man? You ever had a bad idea? Really? You're young. You got some more to encounter. What do you think about that encouragement for today? No, you're a good guy. You ready? Look at here. What might Jesus do in your life? He'll change it. All right, tough lesson today. Got a tough Jesus today. Got tough reality today. But guess what? We got a God tough enough to save anybody in this place today. I want to invite you to Christ. You can only get it in Jesus. Here's what I propose to you today in a nutshell. You'll never experience unity till you experience salvation. Now, I'm just giving you a truth. I know you don't like to hear that because guess what I just gave you? An absolute. Don't tell anybody. It's an absolute. Till you are forgiven, you'll never forgive anybody. Till you are forgiven, you'll always demand your right. These are my rights. This is my way. You'll always look at your husband and your wife and go, well, you were unfair. Got people getting married say, we want our marriage 50-50. I said, really? You want a half a marriage? It's 100-100. My life into your life. All of it. The parts you don't like as well as the parts that you kind of like. All of it. You know what Jesus says? I want to save all of you, not some of you, all of you. And I want to encourage you, and I want to bless you, and I want to put you in the body of believers where you can grow and prosper, and right, Pastor Jeff, where you can develop, where you can learn, and where you can become what Christ made you to be. Well, let's stand together. We've got an opportunity to respond to God today. Please listen to this prayer. You know the Holy Spirit's drawing you to grace. Please come. If you need for baptism, please come. If you need to just come and pray, please come. I want you to pray for Vacation Bible School. I want you to pray for youth camp this week, a busy week in the life of the church. And I want you to pray that God bless this place. Lord, in this moment, we pray for those that need to receive Jesus right now. If you know the Holy Spirit said, listen, you need me. I want you. I make this response. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Just tell him, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I believe in that resurrection. I believe in that cross. I believe in you, Jesus, and I will receive you. You just listen to God. If he's telling you to come on, come on. If you've responded to Jesus Christ and you need to be baptized, you know what? Come today and we want to get that lined up for you. Please get these baptisms taken care of. Quit holding back on that, guys. Look at me for just a moment. Now the Holy Spirit's in this place. Harold Carey, I love everybody in here. Isn't that crazy? But you know what? Us being together won't accomplish much. But us being together in heart and mind in Christ, that's the variable that changes everything. I want you to know that nothing's impossible. And so I want you to dream the next 20 years because you know what? As we walk this thing out, I can't wait to see what God's going to do with this place. Some of you will keep on walking. Some of you will bail. It'll get too scary. It'll require you to not be selfish. Somebody might ask you to give up your seat or your favorite parking place. And you'll say, oh, I'm going to go find me a church that suits me. And as your pastor, guess what I'll tell you? Good luck. Because it ain't about a church that suits you. I've never in 20 years focused on a church that was comfortable with people. Care less. Just want you to know that in case you're visiting today and you're looking for a church that's going to meet your needs. I don't know a church that can meet your needs. That's the problem. I know a Jesus that can meet your needs. The Lord of the church, but not the church. The Lord of the church. And so today, will you respond, give your life to Christ, ask him to come into your life forever, and he will. Why don't you come and pray today? Pray for Vacation Bible School that every child gets saved. That prayer's in motion right now. Pray for a youth camp, Jeff, that every lost young person on that trip will come to know Jesus Christ. And I pray that Havana Nashville gets saved from a bunch of teenagers. Wouldn't that whip all them religious institutions down there with all their billions of dollars, all their fancy studies, all their years of research? And God sends some teenagers that start a major revival in an urban decision, in an urban city. You see, that could happen. So may this altar be filled with prayers. So now it's open. Come right now and pray. Come that God move mightily in your life and may extend that into your neighborhood. Come on, church. We got an opportunity. Take advantage of it. Right now is the time.